Today we have a reading exercise on the second of our core values. What does it mean to be loving one another? So this is an article that came out of the latest issue of Christianity Today. I've appended to it some discussion questions. Maybe you can kind of designate one person in your at your table to be the spokesman for the table. Not that everyone can't speak. We'll have opportunity later to field those questions. So we're going to... I'm going to pray for us in just a second, and then we're going to start. But these are kind of your instructions. If you don't like your reading voice, you just don't want to read today, you have a sore throat, whatever your reason, if you don't feel like reading out loud, we don't want to pressure you and put you in that spot. If you are able to read and willing, we'll just go like a couple paragraphs each and then keep going around the table till we read it. Probably going to take about 10 minutes to read it, and then you can work on the questions and we'll come back together at the end and have some group discussion. All right, let me pray for us. And anyone who comes in late, just jump in one of these tables with at least five people on it. And then we have the extra handouts here. I'll direct them to this. All right? You look beautiful. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we joke about that, but we know from the scriptures what it is for a person to be not clothed and not in his right mind. So we're thankful for the measure of sanity that we have and that we have food and clothing. Bless now this reading. Thank you for the man who wrote it, and we pray that you would bless our time as we discuss this together and teach each other and admonish one another as you enable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Church is a family, not an event. Go for it. Ready? Go. All right, any just general impressions on the article or the big ideas that you saw that were important to the article? Yes, sold.
One of the big ideas that I stated was caught my eye was the gentleman that they allowed to sleep in the church.
Uh-huh.
So they provided safety for him, but they didn't provide... family.
Okay.
And he was sad when everybody went home, and I'm sure he would have liked to have lunch with somebody's family.
Okay.
And he loved on.
All right.
And that's the problem.
Good. Anyone else? Big ideas from the article. Just what were the main thoughts?
I think one of the big idea for me is the fact that the church could be a family.
Okay.
So when you say family, to me, I think I'm Gloria, I'm Jeanette, with Calvin, that immediately I think about my family. And to say, hey, Fred Woollard is like Uncle Calvin.
Yeah.
Can we make that leap?
Yeah.
How difficult is it to make that leap?
Okay. Yeah. We were at a gathering the other night, and we had two of our kids at the gathering, and I was watching them interact with some of the adults, and I thought, you know, the adults at this church have been to my kids like uncles and aunts. That's how they look across the board at you guys. So, and as their uncle and aunts, I hope that you'll talk to them about coming to Sunday school. All right. Yes, they're in rehearsal. I know. Thank you. I know. How much can they do? Really? Okay. Other thoughts. Big ideas from the article that. Yes, Teresa.
I like that it said that you may like what goes on at your neighbor's house, but you don't want to move in with your neighbor, so you shouldn't church hop because you kind of like what goes on there too.
Right. Right, that kind of consumeristic way of looking at the church. Someone else, Matthew, were you going to say something?
The author was drawing on the point that the concept of family here in the United States, the church, is in danger of looking inward like this.
Okay.
Is that a focus in the larger community of which it is part?
Okay, good. What about this idea of the generative metaphor? Does anyone, could anyone explain that to us? It's a mouthful. Thank you, Eric. All right, anyone? What is a generative metaphor? I heard you guys wrestling with that. Generality. I see Dr. McKeon is here, so, you know.
It's not the philosophy I do, man.
All right, well here's one, I mean, from the realm of ethics. You know, sometimes, have you heard of lifeboat ethics? So that is like a, you know, it's kind of a Nazi idea, really, but it's the weakest elements of society probably should get the least resources of society. You know what I mean? So the idea is, if you're in a sinking ship, you all get on a boat, a lifeboat, and then you only have food for the five of you, but there's actually six of you. So which person are you going to pitch overboard? And it's me. You know, the disabled and that kind of thing. So the idea is, well, it does seem to make sense until you think, yeah, but we're not living in a lifeboat. Society is not a lifeboat, so that metaphor really doesn't transfer. And so the idea here is the metaphor of an event. Where are you guys going today? We're going to church, as if the church is a place, as if the church is an event. That metaphor might not be serving us well. Joanne, you were going to say something. Yes.
I think that's mean that it's like it sort of encapsulizes mm-hmm. the approach
mm-hmm. yes.
something and doesn't take into account everything else. You know, there's always a starting point,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if it's fragmented, that's what you're going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a piece.
Okay.
That has to be dealt with.
Yeah. So again,
you need to be inclusive. That's what I got out of the whole article.
Okay. All right. Good. All right, moving on. Anything that you'd want to challenge about the writers? You know, the views of this article do not necessarily represent the views of, you know, I'm going to give that disclaimer. So obviously I didn't write the article and the session of the church didn't. We got it from a magazine. Are there any things that you would take issue with the article? Yes, Matthew.
I'm taking issue with the word party.
Party?
Yes. It is enjoyable when we go to a restaurant, you know, to have dinner or drink, and that's found in the Bible too. But real family means somebody's hurting real bad. Just hit stop, and somebody here in the congregation meet with that person. Go to T.Y. Park, go someplace, and spend half the day just to chill out, get to learn about one another. Find ways to build bonds so that it leads to problems resolved.
Okay, all right, good. And remember, the just to push back a little bit, the generative metaphor he's opting for is not party, but family. Party is a part of family life. By the way, when we recently changed the name of the church from St. Andrews to St. Andrews Park Road Presbyterian, I thought this is finally our chance. And Missy and I have talked for years about the name that we wanted to have, which was TJ and Missy's Church of Fun. I could not get the elders to go with it. David was coming along, but he wouldn't go there. But so it's not just the Church of Fun, but I kind of like the idea of family, because you know, you look back on the history of Israel, and there's a lot of festivals, man. There seem like they're always partying. A lot of their the gross national product of Israel is relegated to the pursuit of celebration. So, but I agree with you, Matthew. It's not the only part of the metaphor that we might like. Anyone else push back? Yes, Eric.
I think it's the church's responsibility to define the term family and party.
Okay.
Especially in today's society, family is not what it used to be.
Yes.
And I know people that have a hard time looking at it as, you know, your heavenly father, their earthly father.
Yeah.
It's not something, they don't want another father, so the church has to define what a father is.
That's good, good. And question number five, what are the our own limitations of family, and how might that deplete the effectiveness of the metaphor if, you know, family isn't really what the Bible defines as family? Anything else? Push back. Yes.
I think transparency is a key issue. There's a lot of people in my church family know a lot more about me than my own family.
Okay.
And I think that part is the more permanent part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't put on a front for people in my church family. I really don't. People I'm involved with. And then again, it's also by choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think with your family, your physical family, you're forced to be with them. Mm-hmm. And I think in a sense, the church family have the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You're a family, and you're also, it's by choice that you're here.
Okay.
By God's choice, actually. You're appointed here.
Yeah, the master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
All right, good. Go ahead, Mike, and then I'll go to Eunice.
The obstacle is not just, one of the reasons I sort of push back on this idea of gender and metaphor and the kind of philosophy that's behind that is it's not just a language problem. It's not just we use the word family and not event, or they use the word event and not family. I think the problem really is just a failure for many of us to die to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
which is what is the process of opening up yourself to other people, inviting them into your life, inviting them into your homes. So I don't think it's just primarily a language problem that we're just using the wrong words. Or we need to sort of recapture the words or redefine them. It's the idea that we just need to remember that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and what that means and how we are of the same family. I think it requires a whole new sort of recovery process, getting back into being to a biblical understanding of what this is.
Right. So not just the words, but a whole understanding of the church. And, yeah, a worldview. Good. Eunice, you were going to add something?
I've always hated the word service, so I just love that word, reunion, gathering, time.
Yeah, yeah, okay. A reunion instead of a worship service, a worship reunion. All right, good. Nate, were you going to say something? No, all right. You know, it's like an auction. If you go like this, sold! Okay. Yes?
DJ, I was pushing back on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a pretty solemn, sober house. And party didn't happen ever. But my idea of party is a recognition of certain stepping stones in a person's life to celebrate and acknowledge those things and, you know, have a piece of cake or have a drink of iced tea or something because so-and-so graduated or got dean's list or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of family.
Okay. All right, good. I noticed our young people giggling a lot, laughing a lot, and I just want to tell you, this is church. We're not supposed to be having fun, all right? So, no, but isn't that a part of, I think, their generation's ideas, that church is not fun, church is where you get serious, and so I think that might be a very important thing to recover for us, that it is a reunion and we're coming back together. I see it Sunday mornings. You know, after the service is over, it's almost like the reunion continues, and people hang around and they're laughing and catching up on each other. Deb?
I realize that sometimes we're having such a good time out and the foyer and that we're not actually going into church like early before,
yes.
before the sermon because we do enjoy each other's company.
Right. And, you know, R.C. Sproul used to say, you know this thing, this is the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there's the glory of God. No, so his point is, church isn't all about people. I mean, let's once we lose the emphasis on the glory of God, then we just really become a club, and that's not what we are. So, again, I like family as a generative metaphor, but no metaphor is complete, and that's why the Bible will use things like a vine, a temple, a spiritual house made up of living stones. There's a lot of different metaphors, and we need to keep them all comprehensively in check. Yes?
So, question 5 is, what's the limitation of our own modern conception of family life? The problem that I think today, a big problem, is that somebody mentioned it, that the idea of family has been really altered or skewed for a lot of people. And even the idea of friends is really skewed and altered, and it's all about what I can get from you or what you can get from me, and it defines all of our relationships. And so the problem for opening up ourselves as a church is really the problem of us opening up ourselves as people to other people so they see a different idea of friend.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you listen to me differently than the other people in my life? Have you invited me to your home or somewhere to spend time with you in a different way than other people I've seen, because their ideas of friend and family won't change unless we open ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Otherwise, the word father, the word friend, do I need another friend?
Yeah.
Friends are always stabbing me in the back, friends.
Well, then you need new friends.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. One other limitation of the family that I thought, go ahead. Who? Sorry. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
I was just going back to something stated a little bit earlier about the word party. The article talked about how different churches try to market and try to, I guess, appeal to the most people.
Mm-hmm.
We're party to me. It just sounds like we're trying to be fun and like appeal to the masses when I don't think that should be our goal. That's just fine.
Okay. If not appealing to the masses, what then would you say?
I think we should stay true to it, what the gospel is in many respects. I just don't think the word party is a very good.
Okay. All right, good. Again, I like party, but I agree with Mike. It's not the final generative metaphor. I think the idea that we come together and actually enjoy. Remember, our main thing, right? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to put up with Him forever. To enjoy Him forever. So the idea of joy has got to be central to what we are as a people and as a church. All right, lastly, like most South Florida churches, we have our share of people on the fringes. How can we allure these folks into the family room? Any ideas there?
Invite,
all right.
You won't go if you're not invited anymore.
Okay, good. Just kind of step out a little bit and say something to someone maybe you haven't talked to before. Cindy?
Just saying, it's just being transparent. If we ourselves are modeling that with one another,
mm-hmm.
which is something we should be doing, because then we can truly be family and not just gathering. I think that just becomes infectious,
mm-hmm.
and that will ultimately lead them to go to the family room.
Yeah,
and much easier than having to perform or do this or that, and really just ourselves just denasking.
Yeah, it's good. Great. Anyone else, Christopher?
By erasing the church dress code.
Erasing the church dress code. What would you be in favor of? What about, like, bathing suits? Would that be okay, would you think? Yes.
Like outsiders come to the church.
Yes.
And they're not exactly aware that we are, like, so formal.
Okay.
They feel left out or set apart or different.
Okay.
So, like, if we maybe alter that and not always go into Sundays like we have to wear the suits and ties every Sunday.
Okay.
Everything. Maybe people feel more welcome.
Okay. So Mackenzie wants to have a little bit less of a party. You want to have a little bit more of a party. So you guys need to hash this out afterward and come back and with a synthesis. All right, good. I appreciate that. Yes?
Before I actually joined this church, I lived down the street, so I frequently go to Publix this way. And I would go on Sunday, and I would see the people crossing the street, and I'm like, you know what? I like the way that they dress. They don't overly dress. I would not feel conscientious that I ought to be wearing. I mean, I'm wearing a dress today, but I do it because I want to, not because I feel I have to.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but I wanted to come to this church because they looked relaxed.
Okay, good.
That's all my thing.
Yes, Jen, it's going to be the last comment. I'm going to take off my tie in honor of Christopher. That's for you, pal. Go ahead.
Yeah, the young do not change. The question you think, I was just thinking, even our, what people think, what we exemplify,
mm-hmm.
Without words, without transparency, just what they see.
Okay.
Store in the, you know, whatever we're doing, there's a price in us.
Okay.
And I think that draws people to wonder, you know, what is this person?
All right, good.
That this is, you know, showing. And that's a way, you know.
Okay.
Different.
All right, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
One more thing, Will Danger. Just like that. Touching people in a non-invasive way, like hugging people, don't touch me. No, it's Megan. She's teaching Sunday school, but she works with older people, and it's amazing how nobody touches them. They can go, days at an end, but nobody ever making physical contact.
Yeah.
How that, even something simple like that,
yeah, And that, I mean, we kind of a little bit make fun of how we're going to contextualize it, but at least six times in the New Testament, greet one another with a holy kiss. You know, some sort of gesture of physical acceptance and affection to one another.
Introduce him to Hill and Eve and you're all set.
All right, good. All right, let me pray for us. Hey, next week we have a congregational meeting, so we'll be back upstairs. And regarding alluring people and growing our congregation, pastries. All right, so let me pray for us. Oh, yeah, next week, that's right. Next week, everyone's bringing food. All right, let me pray for us, and I'll let you go. Thank you, Lord, that we had this discussion together. Thank you for good thoughts and also some things that we're holding in tension and trying to navigate through that. And we pray that you would bless us as a congregation as we do. And we do pray right now for people on the fringes staying a little bit aloof and ask that you would help us to reach out to them, ask questions that are not intrusive but show genuine interest and love. And we pray that we would see more people in the coming year entering the family room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.